This is your girl, Sana Star, coming to you with another episode of A Day in the Life of the Alpha Woman, the official podcast of the Easy Breezy Life Community. Before I jump into today's topic, if this is your first time joining us, the Easy Breezy Life is a community of strong-willed women who understand that it can be so challenging to manage faith, family, life, and pursue our goals. Well, here at the Easy Breezy Life, you're going to find a community of like-minded women who are just as fierce, focused, and fired up as you are. It's also important that I let you know that everything we share on this platform is for education and entertainment purposes only. Because we believe that the Easy Breezy Life is a group project, we want you to seek out professional help in every way, shape, or form that you might need it. We are going to take a brief break, and we'll be back with this week's episode. Good morning, my loves. I hope you had a wonderful spring break. Did you miss me last week? Yes, I know. We didn't get an episode last week. But what happened was it was spring break in higher education, and your girl went into spring break being way more tired than she thought she was going to be. Not tired. Tired is when, as most of you know, I'm married to a Nigerian man. You have just had enough. You are weary. You have been praying. The knees are dark and ashy from the prayer points, and you are just going to the Lord and saying, I'm tired. Yes, your girl was tired. So I needed to take a break. And I'll be honest with you, I think I'm approaching the place where I need a vacation or at least a change of location for a few days. But hopefully I can get that in the coming month or so, because getting back into being in person with people post-pandemic, child, after 3 hours of in-person human engagement, I'm like, give me a nap. Somebody please roll out one of the mats from the preschool classroom so I can take a little sleeper before I have to engage with people again. I don't know if anyone else has been feeling this, especially if you have an in-person role and have been working remote for 2 years like I did. Getting back into the groove of things just mentally and physically and just routine-wise is exhausting. You know, you just didn't realize how much you didn't have to prepare when you're jumping onto a Zoom call and getting up like 15 minutes before. So now I'm finally getting back into the routine, but I have to say that my body is physically feeling it. And just my son's sleep schedule is still off, and we're trying to make sure that he gets fully into school the way he's supposed to. And there's just so much bureaucracy. Nonetheless, I want to get into the topic for today, which is mercy begets mercy. This is a very important topic for me because I think, as I mentioned, I've been working on the fruits of the Spirit in the past probably 2 years. And also just working on demonstrating godly or Christ-like character, which being a Christian, meaning, hey, I love Jesus, I accept him as my Lord and Savior, is probably the easy part of the journey. As you mature in Christ, enter into positions of influence, leadership, power, money, what really becomes a challenge is maintaining that character and catching the little foxes that get in the way of us demonstrating God's love the way he intends us to. Therefore, the Lord has been dealing with me, right? And the beautiful thing about God is we never arrive on this potter's wheel so long as we're on earth, and he knows that. And he's so good to us and patient. At the same time, it can feel discouraging too, right? Because when I pray a prayer and I say, Lord, show me the thing about myself that needs to change, the Holy Spirit is quick. Oh, well, since you asked, this. So one of the areas that I have been challenged in my spirit to address is the area of being merciless. So let's talk about that. Most people who meet me in public and don't have a very close relationship with me may perceive me as like social, very nice, and you know, giving and generous, and I'm all of those things. As you start to get closer to me, probably due to childhood trauma and past experiences, I have a very high bar for what it means to be my friend, what it means to be in my inner circle, what it means to be, let's just say, sister level close with me. And so there are very few people who are that. There are very few people who I allow into my personal space. Reasons being, loyalty is so big for me and my family, you know, and just like this ride or die personality that we have in my family bloodline. And I have to say that because so often we praise being ride or die, we don't understand that loyalty has a dark side, right? If you are dealing with a person who's extremely loyal and you cross them, that it may have a dark side. And a good example of that in the Bible is David sleeping with Bathsheba and sending her husband to die, not even being cognizant of the fact that his closest advisor was a distant relative to Bathsheba. So when you look forward in the story, when he is praying for God to take down his enemies and to turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness, Ahithophel is actually related to Bathsheba and was a very close advisor to David and was just pissed at David's lack of loyalty to him and being like, you could have any chick you want in the kingdom. You had to mess with my relative and send her husband to die and have her looking like a sloppy mess in these streets, because who's really going to turn down the king? Well, long story short, I want to come back in circle and say, because of the way that I define loyalty, or at the very least we define loyalty in our family, I have struggled to keep friendships outside of my immediate relatives, because the bar of what loyalty looks like is so high that it's essentially impossible to meet. Not to mention, I come from a family on my mother and my father's side where the women have very strong presence and personality. So my maiden name is Sako, and the Sakola women don't play. Like, the one thing they are known for is Sakola women don't play. If you cross them, there will be hell to pay. All of the women. No shocker there. And then on my mom's side, you have all these matriarchs, strong personalities. They sweet, but they're also known for, like, in my mom's country, they will fight men in the streets and beat them up. So when you are coming from a family background, and this is where we talk about strongholds, where the women on both sides carry that kind of energy, you have to be very mindful of how you exercise your energy, right? And so for me, the challenge has been, for a season, pulling away from my family member and getting God's definition of mercy down in my belly, right? Practicing that before I could kind of be reunited with my sisters. And I'm so glad, because, you know, taking a little break from the immediate family helped me to get centered in who Christ called me to be. And then when I came back, it was almost like being sober-minded. And don't get me wrong, like, every time I hang out with my sisters and them for like more than 4 days, we go right back into that. So I say that the new woman is living, but the dead woman is always trying to come back. And so I have to be very mindful of the conversations that I entertain, even with my sisters who are my best friends, because I must showcase and role model mercy, which generationally has not been a good trait or a strong trait for either sides of my family. So this conversation about mercy is really about overcoming a family stronghold. Nonetheless, in the past 6 months, God has been leaning in. He's like, I want you to be merciful, like foolishly merciful. Merciful, like giving people stuff they don't deserve, putting people up for roles you're not really sure, you just put people's name in the ring there, like promote everybody, elevate everybody, speak well of everybody. And people would always do something when I felt this nudge to either be merciful or to be a blessing or some kind of way that would deter me from doing it. And the Lord was saying, I wanted you to do it anyway. And the beauty of that is I learned that it was never supposed to be in my strength to show others mercy. Like, I literally would have to pray, Lord, before I enter this space, before I enter this conversation or say anything, please fill my heart with love for X. Please give me the grace to love X. And sure enough, God would release the grace that I needed, even if it was just like 1 or 2 hours to do what it was. And let me tell you, at the end of them 2 hours, it was like Cinderella with the glass slipper. The carriage just turned into a pumpkin. Just enough grace. But what did that teach me? That his grace is sufficient. His grace is not just sufficient for me meeting goals or for him opening doors and accomplishments or sending Emmanuel marvelous help when I feel like we really need it. His grace is sufficient in helping me carry out the Beatitudes and the fruits of the Spirit as outlined in the Bible. And in doing so, right? I learned that I could genuinely love my enemies. I learned that I could be there for those who hated me and be good to those who I knew were plotting against me. I learned that I could support people who didn't necessarily deserve it, because I understood that my assignment and validation came from God and God alone. It was something that I absolutely did not think I could. In fact, I'm confident I could not have done it in my own strength. However, in obeying God, I would begin to live the meaning of blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And the kind of mercy that God released in other areas of my life for problems I could not solve if I wanted to, as a result of me showing mercy, was amazing. And so it is not so much about a transaction, but it's really understanding that there's a scripture and a promise attached to being merciful. And when God makes a promise of something, he is telling you that he's going to do it, right? Matthew 5:7 says that blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, is your mercy always going to come from human beings? Maybe not. It maybe will. Maybe God touching like a leader's heart to be like, you know, you got to overlook all the extra stuff, because y'all, I'm extra. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm not hiding the extra in any domain. So people just know what they're getting when I walk through the door. And so if you're a person where the extra kind of set you aback, right? It might take the mercy of God if you're in a decision-making role to decide whether or not I'm deserving of something, right? So I'm just using that as an illustration and an example. And so the way that God has shown me mercy in other ways as a result of being merciful is something that I say that this is a scripture you can stand on. That when you find yourself in a situation that you have to show mercy, you got to give something to someone who you feel like they're undeserving. You want to think of all the things that you have, the blessings that you have, the breaks that you got, the breakthroughs that you got, that you know you ain't really grind to get all of that. You know, somebody that was favor and mercy and grace, a lot of oil, right? I just like to call it the oil. There's a lot of oil involved in getting certain things. It just didn't do the work fully. You tried your best, but if we had to operate on competitive Western standards, maybe that best wouldn't get you to the finish line. But God's mercy did allow you to get there. So one of the things that the Bible teaches us is that mercy is always granted to those who love Jesus and are willing to change through repentance and through keeping God's commands, right? I want us in this community to begin to challenge ourselves to not just be Christians by word, but by deed. That straight and narrow path that leads to life, everyone doesn't find it. And at the Easy Breezy Life, I want to believe that we are women who are trying to find the path. We may not be perfect, but we are trying to find and stay on the path. And that means having a humble heart on a daily basis that God can correct, whether it's correcting you through his word, correcting you through a sermon, correcting you through a friend. Like most recently, the Lord used a friend to tell me that I was behaving like Miss Trenchbowl in like one of these things. And I knew that was a word from the Lord, because there's no way this friend could have known how much I love the movie Matilda from when I was a kid. We watched Matilda all the time. So when she said Miss Trenchbowl, it touched the depths of my soul. I said, you mean I'm putting people in the chokey? And yes, I had to take a moment and say, people might feel that way. Like if I walk into a space and I'm not smiling and bubbly and friendly, child, that energy is oozing, Miss Trenchbowl. And I wish that I was someone who could be insincere. So that's why I gotta pray all the time, y'all. Like I don't know how to be insincere and like fake nice. I'm either nice to you or I'm not. I either like you or I don't. So if I have to be forced to be kind to someone who I perceive as an enemy or someone who I perceive as shiesty, it's going to take the work of the Lord and maybe some fasting before I enter into that environment. And God has been helping me tremendously, not because he is trying to break who I am, but because he's trying to remind me that it's his mercy that's brought me this far. And if I want to see more of his mercy, I need to demonstrate it more to those who are around me. Because in giving compassion to others, my eyes become open to all the ways that God is compassionate to me, which then turns into me praising and worshiping God for that compassion, which then opens doors for more unmerited favor, or what we call mercy. mercy. So I want you today to walk away knowing that when God tells you to turn the other cheek and look foolish or to be a blessing, and you feel unappreciated for being a blessing, it is because he desires to show you mercy. It is because he desires to open doors that you could never open for yourself. It is his desire so that you can be sitting in tables and rooms that your qualifications could never get you in. And I'm telling you, saints, I tell it like I live it. I'm telling you like I be living it, for real. And so when I look at the goodness and the mercy of God, I am learning to seek justice, right? Because I love what's right. He says, you know, God will anoint you with the oil of gladness above your brethren because you loved righteousness and you hated what was evil. So we still going to love what's right and hate what's wrong. But what we're going to do is we're going to judge the behaviors and show mercy to the people. So what does that look like in this world that we live in? To strike the balance of holding people accountable and then also being merciful. And also being able to admit when we ourselves are deserving or need that mercy. All right. I love you. God bless you. And I will see you or hear from you next week at A Day in the Life of the Alpha Woman. Oh, don't forget to please like, share, subscribe, rate. I love that, you know, we're ranking. I would love for you to rate. And I'd also love for you to just forward it to a friend. Be a blessing. All right, sis. See you next week.